Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul needs a new quote for the opening.
I think everyone knows I'm a cat dad by now.
I do. You have Aria, sweet Aria.
Yeah. Gave her a flea bath on Saturday.
How's that going?
Well, I called the apartment that I'm moving from this morning, and we will see if we get to the now third nuclear bomb to be dropped upon those mark-ass fleas.
So
this is like if Japan didn't surrender after the first two atomic bombs, you know? Like,
yeah, it's the same thing. It's war.
Legitimately, a war. I mean, they have attacked my cat. It is personal. And yeah, so we'll see. I don't know.
But so Paul has just moved apartments. I am too. So I'm in that annoying situation right now where I have 1 month of both leases, which I like, actually, even though it's more expensive, but you can do a slower move.
You don't have to rush, right? That's what I'm in the process of.
So I actually like it, but I'll like forget that I have a certain shirt at one apartment.
Yep.
I forgot that I didn't have towels at my old one, so I had to air dry after a shower because I didn't have towels.
Last Thursday when you were in Indy, I left my backpack and my headphones and everything, and I didn't realize that until I was like 20 minutes before the show. I was like, oh yeah, I don't have any of my stuff. So I just did the show by myself from my phone, which was a terrible idea.
Wait, did you really?
Because I could get easily distracted by all those dating apps on my phone, potentially. But I went through it. I made it through. I feel like, Sean, I did a good job. And speaking of good jobs, Vanessa Richardson doing TV last night.
Guys.
How about that?
You guys are so nice. My crew was very supportive.
Well, I don't know how much longer they're going to be supportive because according to Paulytics, the Astros are 0-1 and have been outscored 1-6 when Vanessa Richardson does the pre and post.
That's 100% of the time.
This is facts.
It's very disturbing.
I'm just reporting the
facts. So it's the Guardians. They haven't been exactly on a roll. So before the game, I was talking to Mike Stanton, who I did the pre and post with, and it was like, oh, this will be a good first game for you to do because the Astros offense will probably be hot. The pitching's been really good, whatever. Ooh. And then I was the bad luck for the Astros.
Sounds like Mike kind of jinxed it.
Yeah, we kind of did in
the chickens before they hatched.
If you watch the pregame, we both kind of, I probably did more of the jinxing, but it was fun and I appreciate all of the support. I'm doing this entire Guardian series. So today and tomorrow as well.
So you're out in the outfield.
Yes.
Is that distracting at all when you're on the TV? Because I'm just thinking about Charles Barkley dealing with those fans in Golden State for the Warriors game.
Yeah.
Did you turn around and tell anybody you're going to bleep your mom?
So I don't have the juice Charles Barkley has. Astros fans are great, very passionate, but at past a certain point, you know, people have had a couple margaritas.
Hell yeah.
They've had a couple Crawford.
Well, they got those El Tiempo margaritas now.
Yes, which looked delicious.
Gonna get wheeled out after those.
So yeah, I had a lady that tried to talk to me about George Springer for like 3 minutes.
Very topical.
And somebody that gave me a business card and you know, he was really professional, really nice. Didn't really know what the business card was for because I had two earpieces in, so I couldn't hear people. But it's fun. They have a really great setup for the pre and post game. It's the one that, you know, the Astros are so successful in the postseason that you actually see the set because it's the one that, like, A-Rod and Kevin Burkhart and all of them use for the post. But, yes, a fun first game, and you can watch it again tonight, of course, and hopefully there's different result as the Astros fell 6-2.
Because if they're 0-2, I mean, then it's a serious problem.
Then we are in trouble.
I like Sean's thoughts. I think it is Mike's fault for last night because he didn't take the Guardians seriously. You know, you got to approach things one game at a time.
It's only one game, right? I do believe in the Astros, but this was a frustrating game last night for sure. 6-1 loss to the Cleveland Guardians. Ooh, yeah. First game of that series, and really just looked more like a lethargic Astros team than we saw the couple of games before that.
Yeah,
they had, you know, 3 out of 4 wins against the Rangers, and just they weren't firing on any cylinders, not offensively, not defensively. And then, not Urquidy. Luis Garcia had 2 innings of solid pitching, and then it kind of fell apart.
Yeah, and he had an awful error in that led to two runs. Miles Straw was running to second base on a grounder that went right back to Garcia. Garcia turned around, and he had no chance to get Straw, and he missed second base by a mile, and it led to two runs. So you factor that in, four walks. You had another error. It was from Jeremy Pena, and I mean, outside of Jose Altuve with the double, yeah, and Alex Bregman who had a home run later on. Yeah, there was no offense to speak of. I can tolerate a sloppy outing. The low offensive production continues to annoy me. I don't really know what else to say about it. Maybe should today my first take about this series be, why did the Astros trade Miles Straw? Especially, you know, given that Miles Straw, Astros legend that he is, got a tribute video.
Yeah, he did get a tribute video. So he and Kyle Tucker are super, super close. And he actually comes to Astros games like when he's not playing. Kyle Tucker will leave him tickets. They're like best friends. So I knew that there would be a lot of love. The guys liked Miles Straw a lot. But yes, there was a full tribute video. Yeah,
I, too, go to the same bar as my ex all the time. It's not awkward at all. No, nope. They gave him a tribute video. I'm sorry, guys.
So you were not a fan of this.
Look, we need to draw a line. Miles Straw is getting a tribute video? Oh, think of all the great times with Miles Straw. We're talking about what? Are we talking about Dusty Baker really liking Miles Straw? Like, I'm trying to think of a great Miles Straw memory that I have. He's really fast. That's neat.
He is quick.
Yeah. Nothing against Miles Straw either. Like, congratulations, you got a tribute video.
So what's the line for tribute videos?
You got to be like a damn good player. And hopefully you didn't force your way out of town with a trade by getting fat like James Harden.
I was going to say, I don't think Miles Straw did that.
No, he didn't do that. That's true. And it seems like there was a bit of contention between Dusty Baker and those up in management about whether or not Miles Straw should stay. But, come on. I mean, who else is going to get one?
So what is the line? Do you have to have played a certain amount of years?
I think that's fair.
Do you have to have made big plays in big moments? Or can you just be a guy that was even kind of the sixth man, per se, that hung out with and was a fan favorite?
But was he a fan favorite? You have to be at least a fan favorite.
Okay,
yes.
So Miles Straw, not a fan favorite.
Right, and I would say you'd probably have to have been around for a couple of years or something. You know, otherwise, I mean, someone like Charlie Morton deserves a tribute video. Someone like George Springer.
For sure.
Definitely deserves a tribute video. Gerrit Cole can kick rocks. Gerrit Cole, though, would qualify as someone who traditionally could get a tribute video. He just pulled that BS after losing the World Series with the Boris hat, like the Hessian hired gun that he is.
So if you wear a Boris hat and if you check out mentally on a team, but you were really successful with that team.
No, you can go kick rocks.
You still don't get a tribute video.
But this is the problem, Vanessa, is that these days, you can basically pull your pants down and moon the team that you played for on your way out the door, and they will still give you the tribute video. I know the Rockets sure as hell will.
Tribute videos the new participation trophies?
Yes.
I will say it is getting there because Miles Straw, I just pulled up his stats. He played four seasons with the Astros, but for a total of 196 games. So he played a little bit over a year worth of games.
That is a stretch. He did a good interview with Julia Morales pregame that was fun, where he talked about his friendship with some of the guys on the team.
Well, deserves a tribute video. Yeah. My bad.
No. I'm saying that, to your point, maybe it should stop there.
It definitely should stop there. Look, and I feel bad that we're dumping on Miles Straw, and he gets the last laugh last night. It's just weird. Do we need to do it for everybody? Are we going to do one for, I don't know, what... Is Justin Reed going to get one for a future Texans Chiefs game next season?
No, Justin Reed, I think, would qualify for one.
I don't know. He got suspended.
You want to know why? Because of the fact that on these Texans teams where there was not a lot of hope, he was great with the media. He was great with fans. He made a couple big plays.
That's true.
So maybe it depends on what team you're on. AJ Hinch got one, which I always thought was funny. MLB.
he got, that is funny.
MLB.
That is.
Do you
but he deserves
when he,
one.
Yes, but MLB suspended him and said that he, like, you know, well, did the worst thing ever.
That's a great way to pander to your fans, though. Like, hey, we're fighting the power. We're giving AJ Hinch a tribute video, even though we fired him in disgrace. Well, Jeff Luhnow deserves a tribute video, then, if that's the case.
I actually agree with that.
How do you give a general manager a tribute video? Do you show him, like, on the phone?
Yeah, different pictures of him on the phone.
Just B-roll.
Standing behind the batting cage.
Have Reed Ryan read a statement.
Yes.
I just can't wait until the Jake Odorizzi video.
Oh no, he's listen, he's gonna be with the Astros forever, man. You don't get it. Like he's
stretcher.
He survived. Yes.
Yeah, God help him.
Jake Odorizzi on all right, Jeremy Pena. Look, we expect some young mistakes from Jeremy Pena. We've been really spoiled because he's done so well.
But
he made that silly mistake last night that was costly.
I almost think it's good that he's making some because in a way, he has been so damn good. There's a part of me that feels like this can't continue. Like the Celtics game last night, Vanessa, when Boston got off to that ridiculous lead because Miami, I think, missed their first 15 shots. I thought to myself, there's no way this is lasting the whole way through, even though there's no conventional wisdom to back that up. And that's somewhat how I have felt with Jeremy Pena, just because everything's been so good.
Yeah.
And he's going to hit a slump. The fielding stuff, you don't expect that to happen very often. And, of course, he's going to have moments like that from time to time. At the plate, I'm still waiting, I guess, for the proverbial, what is it? The thing that falls? The glass?
The shoe to fall.
The shoe to
fall. The shoe to drop.
Why does the shoe drop?
Professor Mapes. Help.
Why does it drop,
Sean? The
next
shoe to drop? Because it's like the second event. It's, you know, because it suggests that a first shoe has already dropped. Now you're waiting for the second one.
Very
thank
ableist,
you, Professor Mapes.
Very ableist if you don't have a leg.
Well, no, it's just shoes dropping. It's not steps.
I figured it was steps. That makes more sense if it's steps. We're lost here.
You know what?
Everyone's
confused. Sean, no, it's okay. We're just going to have Sean Google it on the break because obviously that's what a producer is for. But yes, the Astros fall 6-1. They are back at it tonight, taking on the Guardians once again. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. A non-Astros player, but we talked about this yesterday, suspended for one game. Plus, there is a new quarterback in Indianapolis, but will it even matter? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We've gotten some comments on our who should get a tribute video question. Todd, the show, brought up a good one. Tony Kemp was a fan favorite. Not great, but everyone loved him. I don't think Straw ever made it to that point.
Kemp got booed in other ballparks because he was a part of the 2017 Astros. So that, I feel like, is worthy of getting a little bit of a tribute video.
It's case by case, man. I remember being really surprised they did one for AJ Hinch. Not because he didn't deserve one. To be clear, AJ deserved one.
Right.
But because of the perception that was around the league. I don't know. I like that. I think that was the Astros' way of being like, well, he still won us our World Series.
Yeah. The Indian nickname deserves a tribute video, right? Because there's so much history there. Rich history.
It's
it was
very,
taken from Cleveland. I'm
very
kidding.
Difficult to talk about the game for half an hour on a show and not say Cleveland Indians.
Because that's all you've known.
It's very difficult.
It's strange. I would have had the same problem. It's still, to me, something where I have to take a second to remember it's the Guardians.
Yes.
And it's such an insufferable name. I don't like it.
I told this story on the break, but it's like when my grandpa got remarried to a wonderful woman, my step-grandma Sharon, and like the preacher had known both my papa and my grandma, Dallas and Dolores, and every time when they were doing the vows, the preacher was like, Dallas and Sharon, and there was that pause. You know, there's just that pause. But yes, the Astros falling last night to the Cleveland Guardians. They got another shot at it tonight and tomorrow. All right, so Josh Donaldson, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Robert Flores. There was the incident where he referred to Tim as, what was it, Jackie? He said Jackie Robinson.
Right. He basically was messing with Tim Anderson, saying Jackie, which is something that he at least claims that he has called Tim Anderson multiple times.
Tim Anderson has called himself
Yes,
Jackie
he has.
Robinson.
He wants to change the game, but, you know, kind of hard to do it on the same level as Jackie Robinson, who, remember, was the first black athlete to play in a American professional sport. I don't know.
That had things thrown at him and racial slurs. And
mildly different, right. But okay, Tim. I mean, keep that same energy. And I guess that this hasn't been an issue before, but it led to a benches clearing brawl. And baseball, of course, because Rob Manfred, he is just something else. You know, Trevor Bauer gets suspended for 2 years. Josh Donaldson gets suspended for 1 game. And look, I'm not acting like those are anywhere close to being the same thing. But a 1-game suspension isn't this 100% we're not 100% sure what to do. We don't really think that Josh Donaldson was being racist, as Tim Anderson claims. But everyone's really mad, so let's do something. And if you give a 1-game suspension, is what happened really that serious? I mean, when a guy gets... we'll see players that, like, throw at batters get suspended, like pitchers get suspended for, like, 5 games, or others get suspended for multiple games for roles in benches clearing brawls. And there was the benches clearing in this situation. But in my opinion, this was just trash talk. A guy making fun of another guy for calling himself Jackie. That's it. I don't think we should make it anything else. And if we're all of a sudden suspending guys 1 game for trash talk, this is like the fight on free speech. I mean, how deep does the rabbit hole go?
Josh Donaldson being white makes this entire deal complicated, because regardless of where you stand on it, and everybody's allowed to have their own opinion, Tim Anderson is African-American, in case you don't follow baseball closely, and called himself Jackie Robinson. So he initiated that kind of conversation. We don't know what Josh Donaldson's intentions were, because we're human and we don't know what other humans' intentions were.
That's true.
But it does lend itself to the conversation of how conversations should go in life, which I believe should be direct, honest, and quote-unquote man-to-man, right? I wish we lived in a different world where MLB could say, hey, Josh, you're going to call Tim and you guys are going to work this out. Instead, the world we live in is one where Tim Anderson, in the heat of the moment, goes to his clubhouse right after the game, meets with reporters, says he feels disrespected, says he feels like it was racist, and so it's reactionary, instead of these two guys having a conversation.
Yeah.
That is a utopia that will never exist, I'm well aware, but it's just communication skills of, okay, did Josh Donaldson mean it as a joke? Did he mean it as a racial slur? We don't know. I would rather those two talk it out.
I think you could make the argument, if you're in camp Josh Donaldson, who, by the way, is a noted bag. Like, the guy's obnoxious, a troll, whatever you want to call him. So this also factors into the conversation. But if you're in Josh Donaldson's camp, you could 100% say, well, he's saying things about me that aren't true. He's saying I'm racist. And I feel like that's a pretty disparaging thing to label someone these days, clearly based off of the way that people can easily be removed from a position of employment based off of something that maybe they said online. And look, I'm not saying, hey, you should be able to say whatever you say online, you know? That's up to the discretion of whoever pays your paycheck. But in this situation, to me, I don't think that the intent was anything more than just ball busting. And Tim Anderson, essentially, in reaction to said ball busting, went really, really, I would say, intense in terms of trying to, get Josh Donaldson to stop. That's generally never how you get someone to stop talking trash, but okay. And then after the game, to come at it with a microphone in his face the way that he did, this whole thing annoys me. I understand the perspective of people that have dealt with, you know, actual racist things in their life. And this, to me, would be so low on the totem pole of awful things to experience. We're really going to turn this into a big deal and potentially along the way diminish other things that are actually serious deals. I think Anderson acted like a baby here. Call me whatever you want for it. I don't think that this is this is all of a sudden something that needs to make Josh Donaldson have a referendum on his character. I think he was busting his balls. And honestly, who wouldn't bust someone's balls for saying something a couple of years ago?
Right.
I remember one time I was on, I was talking with Josh Ennis, who is a friend of mine. This was back when I was like 23, and I was pissed off that I wasn't getting any opportunities. And at one point during this rant that I went on, I said, like, I'm actually bleeping talented, bro. I said it like this. And Josh has thrown that against me for years and years since then. And it's funny, because that's what you do. And if you're calling yourself Jackie Robinson, of course someone's going to use that against you. Yeah. Especially, and you have to know that person to throw that against them. No, it's the heat of the battle. You're playing a sport. You want to talk a little trash, talk a little trash. You got to back it up, of course.
Regardless of how people feel about it, the one game suspension is just beyond weird. And as you said, is very, we either didn't know what to do.
Either go like 10 games if you think this is serious, or 5 games, or don't do anything. Yeah, one game is like, all right, well, we're uncomfortable. We don't know what to do. We think this will please everybody. This is like a terrible compromise.
Nick Foles to Indianapolis. I wanted to touch on this quickly just because this is AFC South related, and we'll be talking more NFL in the next segment as well. What are your thoughts on Nick Foles going to Indianapolis as the QB2 role? He's not going to start. They've already said that. It's going to be Matt Ryan. What do you think of Nick Foles as a backup?
I hate Nick Foles.
Not a fan.
No. No, he beat the Patriots in the
True.
Super Bowl.
Yes, he did.
That should not have happened.
Lifelong fan right here.
He beat Case Keenum in an NFC Championship game. More importantly, for all the Keenum truthers out there, I mean, the Eagles kicked the Vikings' ass in that game. That was right after the Minneapolis Miracle, where the Saints had that awful busted play where was it Stephon Diggs who catches the long touchdown pass? Ultimately, the Vikings, they beat the Saints in that playoff game. I like Foles just brings up bad memories.
Yeah, and he's triggering for Paul.
Here's the thing too. I'm not expecting this to ever happen again. I think now we have established that he is no longer the same guy. But last year against the Seahawks, he had actually a pretty good game towards the end of the year with the Bears. He has these weird...
He did, that's right.
He has these weird moments. And I feel like if you could make an argument for the best backup quarterback in NFL history, is there anyone other than Nick Foles that you're saying? Like, some people maybe would argue Frank Reich, I guess, but... Who's now ironically
his
coach?
Yeah, yeah. But, well, there's a statue of Nick Foles for winning a Super Bowl as a backup, so I would say that it would have to be him. Here's the thing. I think it's, as a backup, he's probably one of the best in the NFL right now because he's fine being a backup, which sounds weird, but they told him when they brought him in, look, Matt Ryan's QB1, and Nick's like, great. There's power in that. There's power in, obviously, there being competition in the quarterback room. I think he can win 4 or 5 games if Matt Ryan goes down with, you know, whatever injury, hamstring, whatever. Like, I think that Matt Ryan could step in and win those games. It's interesting that they took this approach, though, because the last guy that Frank Reich brought in didn't exactly work out. And look, that's a different role. He brought in Carson Wentz. It was a different situation. Carson Wentz, obviously, the starter. And like I said, Nick Foles isn't going to be QB1. But it is interesting that they bet on one of Frank Reich's guys again. We'll see how it turns out. I think this one's probably a little more proven in certain ways.
You're expecting Matt Ryan to play for the whole season too, you know? But it is interesting that they are paired up once again, and it would be amusing and also triggering at the same time if all of a sudden Nick Foles comes in as a sub and wins the Colts a couple of games.
It would be
Of course it would happen against the Texans or something like that, too.
It would be triggering for me if it was the opposite, and if Nick Foles ended up, for whatever reason, having to start and then being Carson Wentz, you know.
You're pumped. You got a championship quarterback on the
2.0.
roster now.
You
Not
know
one
what?
Who blows it.
I actually
like want to
see Sam Ellinger.
You want to see Sam Ellinger? Hell yeah.
I want to see what he can do. I say that semi-sarcastically, but...
You say it semi... Oh, don't... But look at Sean's face.
He's
so excited, now he's so sad.
Do you think he gets any playing time at some point?
Maybe it's... if something catastrophic happens.
Yeah. Or preseason.
He really should have came around in the COVID era, so maybe, you know, he could have been whoever the Denver Broncos trotted out. He's better than him. But he is the best Westlake High School quarterback on their roster because Nick Foles also went to Westlake High School.
Really?
Yeah, they went to the same high school, like 15 years apart.
Oh, my God. So. Hashtag fun fact. We love Sean Mays.
There you go.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there will not be QB1 of a certain team at OTAs. We're going to talk about that. Plus, another season of Hard Knocks. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Shrimp cocktails for life, y'all. Shrimp cocktails for life.
Why the shrimp NFL, cocktails for life?
The NFL just announced that Indianapolis will host the Combine in 2023 and 2024.
Why?
Because it's the best host city for such an event.
Like 10 degrees that time of year.
And everything's walkable. The food is simple. Coaches like it. GMs like it. This is a rare right move by the NFL. Everything else should be in bigger cities. The draft, the Super Bowl, completely agree. Give Indy a Super Bowl every 15 years or so. That's fine.
The
Combine should stay in Indy.
Well, it's a cold time of year.
Why don't you ask every other coach, GM, media member that likes it there?
I think they're all boring people.
But that kind of plays into it. Because for the Combine, all you want to do is you just need a place. You can go. You can walk to the stadium. You can walk to restaurants. It's not flashy. You don't need it to be in like Miami or Las Vegas.
Come on down to Indianapolis, everyone. It's walkable.
We have a very specific event. A very specific event where Indianapolis shines.
Okay. The Indy 500, that's where you shine. Yeah. Why do you guys want
this weekend, by the way? Hell yeah, brother.
Let's have everyone visit us during the most miserable time of year.
I'm sure
this will help the tourism board of
Indianapolis. Elmo's, if you know, you know. We also know that Kyler Murray will not be at OTAs.
Yep.
That's something that we were expecting, that new contract that he wants so badly that his agent, Eric Burkhart, asked for and then was rejected, basically has not happened yet. Not a surprise, but what are you guys' thoughts on Kyler Murray not being at OTAs? Big deal, no big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal because it does feel as if things have been rectified to an extent, and you've seen what the Cardinals have been willing to do for Kyler Murray this offseason by trading for his buddy, Hollywood Brown. I would imagine he would like to get that extension as soon as he possibly can. This has got to be the next best thing. I feel like there won't be a deal by the start of the year. I don't know what the impetus is for the Cardinals to extend him other than he might be annoying on social media again. I think if I were the Arizona Cardinals, I just would say, okay, well, I'll accept the fact that he's not going to be here for voluntary workouts. It does feel like we're seeing, Vanessa, more now quarterbacks who are willing to sit these out.
I noticed that too, and I think that my indication of that was when Ryan Tannehill, now it wasn't OTAs, it was voluntary workouts. But OTAs are
voluntary still though too.
Right.
They're voluntary for,
I guess what I was talking about was
good players.
2-3 weeks ago.
It was a mini camp. Yeah, but you're right.
The point is, if it's voluntary and you're a quarterback and you're like a really, really solid quarterback and you've won playoff games, like, and you're older, maybe you could argue resting would be better. Maybe.
Brady started doing it. And that was a couple of years ago.
Good for him.
Right.
And he's definitely earned the right to skip that, among other things. I don't know that Kyler Murray... they were like, 7-0 last year, and then he crapped the bed?
It is a bad look. I don't think it ultimately is going to hamstring Arizona's Super Bowl chances. And we're going to see behind the scenes just how much of an impact this maybe has. More on that in a little bit. But it's a bad look. You have, from a PR standpoint, taken hit after hit after hit, starting with how poorly you played against the Rams in that wild card playoff game on a Monday, your demeanor on the sidelines as the game got more and more out of hand, refusing to go back into the game, having all of your social media mentions of the Arizona Cardinals deleted, claiming it was nothing, having your agent put out this manifesto, essentially, to...
with a lot of grammatical errors. Surprising amount of grammatical errors for an agency.
Right. So, all of those things, just add it all up. I mean, don't you feel like at some point you should be doing something to repair your image? because I think Murray, in a short amount of time, has gone from being a quarterback that some consider to be on the cusp of being one of the best in the league to being a guy who you're not even sure you should be giving an extension to in a league where both Jared Goff and Carson Wentz got extensions.
I agree with everything that you're saying. I think Kyler Murray's attitude has been bad since he was like in high school, and that's been one of the narratives about him, is that he has not had a good attitude, and that he might not even be like, it feels weird to say this about a quarterback, but might not be like a quote unquote football guy, that he cares more about his brand, that he cares more about his video games. And my whole thing, I always look at what other teammates are saying when there are storylines, like, are they standing up for Kyler Murray? When the media was talking about Kyler Murray having a bad attitude, not getting the job done in playoffs, has the locker room bought in? I didn't see his teammates standing up for him. I didn't see J.J. Watt tweeting, oh, that's our leader of our locker room, like a J.J. Watt tweet would be. I didn't see DeAndre Hopkins saying anything. So I just, reading between the lines, I don't even know if the team has bought in, the locker room has bought in on thinking Kyler Murray has bought in. Skipping OTAs, in my opinion, doesn't help that. But certainly not looked at as a huge deal. Other guys that are not at OTAs, do you guys view these as big deal or no big deal? Another guy that wanted out, Deebo Samuel, not at the 49ers OTAs.
San Francisco is weird right now, too, because, yeah, I'm not 100% sure what they're doing at quarterback, number one, because it seems like they're trying to move Jimmy Garoppolo, but they haven't, and that they want to go with Trey Lance as their quarterback. But if Garoppolo is still there, you're going to have guys like George Kittle endorsing him. And then, on the other hand, too, here, I feel like things have been rectified with Deebo. It feels like both have publicly made shows of support for one another. And like, Arizona and Kyler Murray have to an extent too. But if I'm Deebo, I'm a much, much more, I'm in a much better position when it comes to actual leverage against the 49ers. Hey, you're not going to give it to me? Why should I play? My position is the most, what he's calling it, like wide back.
Wide back.
Yeah.
That he loved and now hates.
It's the most injury. He hates it because he's not getting paid for it, you know? Right. And he plays in a style that looks like it will lend itself to him getting hurt a lot. And he already has been hurt a lot. So he wants to get paid. I wonder if San Francisco would actually be willing to give him that contract, given the risks that would be associated with paying him long term. If I'm San Francisco, I would, but I have a man crush on Deebo Samuel in the way
yes,
that he
you
plays.
Do. Terry McLaurin not attending OTAs for the Commanders. I just don't care about anything Washington does because I don't think they're relevant. I do think if you have a new quarterback, it's probably good to go to OTAs and probably try to build the chemistry before even training camp.
Maybe.
But I say that's no big deal. Baker Mayfield not attending the Browns OTAs. No big deal, but that's a storyline to watch of what happens with Baker. As the weeks progress.
It is funny that it's still just lurking, like a big stale fart.
It's funny that he threw out the names of teams he wanted to go to, and they all were like, no thanks.
They have said that they would be willing to pay a large portion of his salary to move him elsewhere. And I guess Seattle's sort of intrigued because they're really trying to sell people on Drew Locke versus Geno Smith, which is nauseating. But, I mean, Seattle's still clearly not enthused by what Cleveland's offering to pay right now. Cleveland's going to have to pay this whole contract, and they're probably going to have to dump a draft pick to get rid of him. And they should. This is a bad situation. It's only going to make things more awkward in the locker room. There's got to be some people in that locker room that at the very least respect Baker Mayfield. Maybe they aren't biggest fans of him as an actual quarterback compared to Deshaun Watson. But
they watch what he put his body through.
Yeah.
They watch, you know.
I don't think that the entire locker room hates him. Now, maybe they do, but it would be very surprising to me. This isn't like some jackwagon like Antonio Brown.
The Texans may be one of the teams that has a very high percentage of guys at OTAs because they have a lot of younger guys and a lot of guys on those 1 and 2 year deals. Coming up on Vanessa and Glot, we're talking about that real sports. Do your Bryant Gumbel impression. You do a really good Bryant Gumbel impression.
Putting,
you know what he's going to do in the next segment?
Okay.
The real sports feature on Deshaun Watson tonight. We're talking about that. Plus the Eastern Conference Finals. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Paul and I are going to fight because he's talking crap about Indianapolis on Twitter.
Well, because Phil Yates is saying the NFL Combine is staying in Indianapolis, as it should.
Yes, it should.
Why?
I've listed all the reasons. It's not an event where clubs matter, glitz and glamour matters.
Actually.
It's literally men in laundry and reporters trying to get information.
You want to test the kids in laundry a little bit more? Put them in a spot where there are actual temptations around.
Yeah,
put it in Miami. Put it in Las Vegas. Put it in New Orleans. Put it in Los Angeles.
You just want
it
to
New
be
York.
There so you can go and engage in Paul Gallant debauchery.
Duh. But I also want it to be in a fun city. I mean, oh, wow.
The Combine does not need to be the draft. Absolutely a fun city.
Indianapolis is cold during February.
No, have you ever even been?
Do I need to go to know that it's cold in
you know
February?
What? Try
it's
it out.
It's actually temperate. It's in the 60s. It's beautiful. You don't need to wear an overcoat because you're walking.
You grew up in Boston.
Yes, and Indianapolis is colder. It's the Midwest.
Oh,
the Midwest
God.
Is freezing. Come on.
It's not that cold.
Yes, because you're from there.
It's not. Yes, that's true. That is true. When it's 50 here in Houston, I'm like, oh, this is nice. All right. So tonight on HBO, there will be a real sports feature. This is going to be on Deshaun Watson and the entire situation with the 22 civil lawsuits. I'm guessing they'll talk about the criminal, maybe touch on the NFL investigation. We don't know. I believe it's with Soledad O'Brien, who's one of their seasoned reporters. And if you're not familiar with Real Sports, it's a sports magazine show with Bryant Gumbel. It's been on for a long time. And they look at the way that sports tie in with social issues, trends, etc. Sometimes it's super serious. Sometimes it's super light.
Tonight's episode we'll have on the victims of Deshaun Watson, allegedly.
That's actually a decent impression.
Real Sports tonight.
Initially, the press release had said that there would be several women. Now it appears that there's going to be just two. Not that that really matters, but there will be two women. It appears that they're Tony Busby's clients.
Yep.
Because remember, there were a couple that were not Busby's clients that had been in on the lawsuits as well. These two appear to be Tony Busby's clients because of a statement that he gave. And this is from USA Today, where Busby said that HBO had approached them, asked if their clients would be willing to speak. As was the case with speaking with law enforcement, we left the decision up to the clients, and two chose to do so.
Busby was very big about the fact that he wanted to know what questions were coming in advance, and HBO said, no, we're not doing that. And he's like, they're very professional, and they really got to the truth. So, of course, he's doing his you know, charlatan routine, as he does so well. The interesting thing I saw yesterday, and not surprising, is that they also requested an interview with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, and that surprised you?
Well, because of the way Rusty Hardin was saying it. Well, we're not sure that there's going to be a fair, that it's going to be covered in a fair and balanced way. And I was like, well, then how about your client talks?
Right, great point.
And here he is saying, well, Watson declined the offer. Okay. If you want this to be a conversation where every single side gets to weigh in on it, that's how you do it.
When you find out that when you're a public figure and you find out that there's going to be a huge story about you or your organization, the publication ethically, if it's an actual newspaper or news station or whatever, has to ask you if you have a comment. Like that's, you know, if it's a TMZ Twitter account, they don't have to reach out to you. If it's an actual news organization, they have to. So I never feel bad for people that decide not to put their name on their sides of the story when they know something like this is coming out. Regardless of how you feel about Deshaun Watson, we should all agree that they want to get to the truth. And if Deshaun has nothing to hide, and it's not like the women were being given the questions before. Tony Busby said they weren't. So if Deshaun had nothing to hide, I'm a little confused as to why he wouldn't want to do a sit down. And maybe he will at some point. He has not yet.
Well, he said that's what's funny about that whole press conference that he did with the Cleveland Browns. Vanessa, is at the end, he said,
you know, someday I'll talk about all of this, but I can't right now. Shut up. No, you won't. You're never going to talk about this. You are running from this as best you can, and you are hoping that as soon as you get on the football field and hopefully win with the Cleveland Browns, that everyone will forget about this in the same way that, to a large part, they forgot about it with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, they did.
And they might, by the way. You
yeah,
might be right.
I think this one will be difficult because there's 22, but certainly if Deshaun wants to get his side out of it, then he's going to have to do that at some point.
We'll be on to the next thing to be outraged about right. in sports. Like that's who we
so
are.
This isn't a criticism, but I'm not really expecting to learn anything new from this. Unless now I think that obviously the public for the first time will see the faces of some of these women, unless it's Ashley Solis and women we've already seen. And there's value in that. Of course, the emotions that are attached to seeing a woman's face. I'm just saying with Houston media members, news reporters have gone through every lawsuit. So I don't know. Like, I guess what I'm getting at is I think people think we're going to learn something tonight. I don't know that we learn anything. Maybe people that haven't followed it closely, but I think we're going to hear the same information and it's just going to be very emotional.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there are some people, too, that maybe will be introduced to Solis who didn't, you know.
Yeah, they didn't
before.
Watch the press conference, whatever, 6 months ago.
So it'll be packaged together. It'll be discussed online. Is it going to make that much of a difference in the court of public opinion? I feel like everyone already feels strongly one way or the other about Watson, and I do think it's a smaller group of people that are in support of Watson. Innocent until proven guilty, and they're not going to watch this because they don't want to watch it, you know? Everyone has made up their minds, I think, for the most part. The real question I have is if the NFL has looked at this or watches it tonight, and if that impacts the ruling that we have yet to see. I mean, they have claimed that they have done their due diligence, that they have
investigated
themselves.
They claimed that it won't, but perception and public perception matters to the NFL, yeah. Especially when they have made the wrong decision and controversial decisions for punishments before. Let's talk a little bit of Eastern Conference Finals. How's our Celtics fan doing?
My God, this series makes no sense to me because both of these teams, the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, I think are pretty even. I feel like Miami has a lot of depth. Boston's best players are better than Miami's best players. But Miami's been there and done that. Boston's still, they're getting to that point. They have obviously been in a ton of playoffs over the last couple of years. But I don't understand why we have seen so many just absolute train wreck quarters where one team just beats the other with a baton until they're just on the side of the road bleeding out. Like that's what happened in the first quarter of this game. The Celtics easily cruised in the first. The rest of the game was actually pretty even, but Miami missed its first 15 shots. I want one of these games to be good.
It's, like, genuinely competitive, not a blowout. Right?
Yeah, I mean, just the basketball fan in me loved the Boston Bucks series, outside of Game 7 of that series.
How about
which
Oladipo balling?
Was a mess. It was interesting to see him playing that way. Now,
former Houston Rockets legend, Victor Oladipo.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking,
you guys,
too.
I was so excited when they brought him here because he played at Indiana, and I'd gotten to meet him a few times back in the day with the Pacers and whatnot.
I thought it was a smart move, too.
And then he was gone.
And then he was gone immediately.
Yeah.
He's got clearly a time limit that he's as effective as he can be on the court. I just want one game. Just one game. That's a good one. That's it. Because it's been a very disappointing conference finals. I mean, Golden State's going to knock out Dallas tonight, probably.
And then tomorrow, as Paul's been talking about, tomorrow at 7:30, the Celtics will take on the Heat for Game 5. It is a good, technically like a good, it's tied at 2 apiece.
It's been
so
good.
So it's a decent series. You know what I mean? It's competitive.
None of the games really have been. Right. Like, outside of, the Golden State had that big comeback.
Paul just wants a little bit of drama in his life.
And Miami had that big quarter in Game 1 where they were down big and they scored. But outside of that, it's just been, yeah, it's been rather one-sided.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about the Astros, plus Paul Gallant's Lord and Savior,
what?
Tom Brady, was supposedly given this massive contract. Now, the CEO of Fox says it may not be the case. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.